God's good, amen. God is very good. By the way, no matter what happens to you, God is good. If you go through it or it gets on top of you, God is good. Yeah. If you're painless or painful, God is still good. And He knows what He's doing. And praise God for that. I want to speak to you today something really in my heart that I hope that makes some sense. Begin verse number 25. I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. If you notice, that very first word says, therefore. If you were to back up, it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have two things upon the throne. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we had just a marvelous privilege to have song enter into our heart and our soul. We thank you for the privilege to gather together and be able to pray, to ask your blessing, and to be able to read your word. We know in parts of our world today they do not have even a portion of the word of God. We know that for many centuries it was very difficult for people to get a hold of the Word of God, but you've made it very ample in our lifetime. And probably many of us here have 3 and 4 and 5 Bibles. Oh God, make us students of those Bibles. I pray this morning that you might speak to our hearts. Spirit of God, that you might move upon us the only way that you can. It's marvelously, wonderfully, miraculously. We pray for that in Christ's name. Amen. There's a story told in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It's about a man who was a shepherd. He lost a sheep. The Bible says he put everything aside to go find that sheep. And when he found it, he came rejoicing because he had found that which had been lost. There's another story that goes with it. It's about a woman who had lost a coin. And she searches throughout her house. She goes through it thoroughly, probably cleaning as she went, trying to find that coin, and finally comes across it. And we find there's great joy that she found that coin that was lost. But then the pinnacle of those three stories is a man who actually lost his son. Not that he passed away, but he left with his inheritance to a far country. That father was waiting for that son to reappear. If I look at Scripture and can use my imagination a little bit, I think of him day after day looking down that path, waiting to see the appearance of that boy, and one day he does. And that lost son comes home. We find there's great joy. There's something interesting, and that is it brought joy, it says in the Bible, in the presence of the angels. I never thought about this before, but at camp, one of the preachers mentioned this. Who is in the presence of the angels? It is God. Who is joyed at one who was lost and now is found? It is God. God is overjoyed when you and I finally find our way back to Him. Oh, thank God for the fact that there was a day when that brought Him joy. But, oh, Christian, let's stop and think about it. Could it not be a wonderful day if we're responsible for the gospel getting into a heart and bringing joy unto the Lord? I find here a verse that just really speaks to me. I've dealt with it many times in the past. Verse number 33, he says, "But seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And interesting, he says, "And all these things shall be added unto you." What things is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the clothing, the food, the necessities of life. And what God's saying, he says, don't seek those first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. First in this scripture is talking about first in time. It's talking about first in place. As things are ordered one after another, He is first in that order. He is the most important of all things. It is chiefly first of all, of everything. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The realm of such priorities we find is the kingdom, which really refers to the reign or the rule of Almighty God. What he is saying is that God's desire, God's law, God's way is that which they are seeking after. It is that which they are putting first things first. How marvelous that is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The great purpose of my ministry, the great purpose of this church, I believe, is to direct people in this direction, making God first in every aspect of our lives, making Him first in our time, making Him first in His position in our lives, making Him first in the order of things and importance, making Him first. A man by the name of D. Martin Lloyd said this. He says, to love to preach is one thing. To love those to whom we preach, quite another. Every message ought to have at its very heart the desire for God's people to put Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To seek after it, to desire it, to go for it. Every ministry within our church, I believe, has this as a goal. For instance, one of the things we have here is a school. It's not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. Education is learning how to love and serve the Lord. Too often we got the idea that education is about learning different kinds of facts. Did you know that you can learn math and fail in your love to God and not be a success towards God? What good is it if we learn how to speak English properly and yet not love God as we ought to? If we've learned all the facts and we don't have God first, all we have learned is to be self-centered. Seriously, Christian education can't be separated from the local church biblically, for it's about equipping the saints of God for ministry. It's helping us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, seeking Him first in our lives and seeking to have His will accomplished, which is ministry. The scripture admonishes us here to seek. If you go back to verse number 32, it's interesting. He uses the same word. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, it's the same word in English, but not necessarily in Greek. And really what it is showing us is just a little bit difference in these two words. In verse 32, the word is somewhat different, and it means to search intently or to crave after. It's talking about the Gentiles, how they want to go after something just with all that they have. Matter of fact, the word after is actually the same word. And it's a double positive trying to emphasize to you and I that's the goal of the world. But God says no, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. A different word is used here, and that word means basically to worship or to have all of our desire upon Him. What we worship and desire. In other words, putting first things first, the most, I believe it reveals something about us. What is it that you put first in your life? What is it? Does it show your priorities and things? Since Christ died for the church, should we not live for it as a means of discipleship? Seriously. I remember one time a fellow said to me, we need to have a discipleship program. I said, we do. It's called morning service, Sunday school, evening service, Wednesday night. It is. And we have a priority, and that's to seek to educate people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also about evangelism, reaching out to the lost. One of the problems as a church get older, and I believe we see it somewhat in our own, and that is we get off the track of seeking the lost, more interested in what we can do in ways of fellowship rather than seeking those who need Christ. Let me ask you, when was the last time you passed out a tract? When was the last time you talked to somebody about Christ? Gave them the gospel? Showed them that you cared in this regard? What's our priority? It ought to be, listen, to reach folks for Christ. It ought to be to educate them. It ought to be to edify, to build them up. I thank God for certain people, how they can come, and they're just building in their actions and their ways. Amen? I remember years ago we had a lady in our church. She's with the Lord now. Every Sunday she would come and they say, how are you doing today? And she'd start giving me her list. It wasn't pleasant things. It was all of her ailments, all of her problems, everything was going wrong in her life. And so I decided I'm going to change my approach just a little bit. And I would say, man, you're looking really good today. It didn't work. She says, but you just don't know how I'm feeling. I guarantee you, she was not one who edified my soul. Matter of fact, when she came, I was glad to see her, but at the same time, I'm thinking, I hope she hurries to her seat and doesn't drag me down in the meantime. And I hope that doesn't sound disparaging, but listen, we have a responsibility to one another, not only to the world, but to each other, and that's to build each other up. You know, when somebody sings and Jeff leads in the music and those kind of things, they can be so uplifting. Amen? I watched during the first song this morning as Chris and Jalen were singing, and some of you wanted to do this. Yeah, I saw you was wanting to do that. Huh? Yeah. I was waiting. By the way, that didn't bother me. Huh? I think proper things is many times say amen, but once in a while just to break out in applause is something that's all right too. Because it's a joy of the heart. But I don't believe we ought to in the regards that, oh, they need a performance, so we need to applaud them. You know what I'm trying to say? There is a difference. And listen, God can use us in these kinds of things. And when you walk in and somebody smiles for you and they do something, just builds your heart and your soul. Amen? I mean, it's wonderful. So God wants you and I in that and have that priority in our lives. I try every week to have a joke ready because Julie wants it. And this is what I told her this morning. There was a woman. She just moved to town. I didn't tell you the whole thing. They just moved to town, and she got involved in this church just a little bit, and she wanted to really make a big impression. They were having some kind of a bake sale, and she says, I'll make a cake. And so she got up that morning. She made a cake, and she went to the oven to get it, to pull it out, to put frosting on it and take it because she had to be there not too awfully long. And she looked, and the cake had fallen. Do cakes still fall? Okay, the cake had fallen. And she thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? She looked up and she spotted a roll of toilet paper. and it was just right. And so she made a little circle in that fallen cake and stuck that roll of toilet paper there, and she covered over with frosting, and it looked magnificent. She took it to the bake sale, and when she got it to the bake sale, it was going to be put on the market, so to speak. The next morning, she went home and she said, "Daughter, I won't be there tomorrow morning, and I want you to do something. Get out of bed and go down there. Be there by 9 o'clock, and you buy that cake right off the bat." Because she thought, "My goodness, they'll find out who it is, and I'll just look terrible in the eyes of all these people." Well, our daughter, you know how daughters are, she primped just a little bit too long, and by the time she got there, the cake had already been bought. Matter of fact, it had been bought by a very prominent woman in the church. Matter of fact, a woman who would look at this woman, because she was a single mom, kind of down her nose. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. And she bought the cake. The next day, she had the lady who made the cake had to go to a little tea-like thing, and just happened to be at this woman's house. She didn't want to go. She had no desire. And she tried to think of, how can I get out of going to this thing? I don't want to go to this place. And finally she decided, well, I'll go. She got to the house and they invited her in. And of course, all the ladies are around. And she looks, and right in the middle of the table is that cake. And she thinks, oh my goodness. The mayor's wife walks in. And she looks around. She sees that cake and she says, "Wow, that is a beautiful cake." And the woman in her pride said, "I made it myself." And the woman who really made it said, "God is good." Some of you come to church, you've had a bad day, and I mean the week has been, it's been horrendous, and you've had stress, you've had all sorts of things, and sometimes just somebody, offering you a smile or maybe a dumb joke like that, I hope it doesn't take that long. Yeah. Last week, Julie came in and she says, "I got a one-liner for you." I said, "What's that?" And she said, "Julie Foot." I thought it was funny. Priorities. What's our priorities? Is Christ our priority? He died for the local church. He died for you and I as a place for you and I to meet together, to work together, to accomplish the will of God together. It's not just a place to spend an hour or two together and to get our tummies rubbed. It ought to be a priority in our life. You and I, we ought to have some priorities. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. What's your passion? What really arouses you? Is it God? Is it His presence? Have you ever been in a church service and, man, the presence of God was there? Did you know something? He is all the time. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst." The problem is not God, it's the problem is our receptors. And you and I, if we have the real passion for Christ, we see Him wherever we are. Our passion ought not only be for God and His presence, but for those who He has died for the souls of mankind. What's our priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are we putting first things first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's our passion? Put first things first. And I would say one last thing. What is your purpose? If all we have is selfish ideas, I will say this, the soul is empty. Because God made us in a special way. The Bible says God made us in His image. Is that not true? Of course it is. We are after His likeness. Matter of fact, He made us in His image, and we can only truly be satisfied in Him. Why is the world such a mess? They're not satisfied. They've not met up with the God who made them. And their souls are empty. It's interesting. The Bible clearly teaches that the evening and the morning were the first day. Did you know when God went to walk in the garden with Adam? It was in the cool of the evening. What's it telling us? God started every day with Adam. We ought to start every day with God. That ought to be the purpose of our life, is seeking first Him. I believe there's a great error of our day, and that is that we seem to think, well, we're going to work 30 or 40 years, we can retire, and we can just do nothing, whatever we want to. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with retirement, though I don't find it in the Word of God. I find that there's a rest yet remaining. Actually, we're told to occupy till Jesus comes. You know, you might be able to put away this job, but there's ministry that never ends. There's an 83-year-old man pulling a trailer across America, preaching to churches, preaching to Christian schools, seeking to help people, drove 150 miles out of the way to see a preacher who had just lost his wife, drove another 50 miles to see a woman who was very ill, about ready to die. Why? Because he just wanted to minister to them. We have great opportunities, amen? What's our real purpose in life? What's our priority? What's first in your life? What really is your passion? What gets you excited? What's your purpose? Really, what is it? If it's about you, the majesty of God will never humble you, that you can truly see your hell-deserving soul. You see, it's not about us. Remember the song, Campers? It's not about us. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Amen? It's all about Him. We sang it, we learned it. As a song, we need to learn it in our hearts. Is He your priority? If you could do something else, would you? I remember one day very distinctly saying in Bible school, I had the privilege to go to a Bible school that all the Bible teachers, all the pastoral classes were taught by pastors. Every one of them. I didn't have a professional educator. I didn't have a professor. I had pastors. Men who had been in the ministry for many years. And I remember one day sitting with about 30 young men. And he looked out at us with a very stern look. And he said this, "If you can be happy doing something else, then get out of here and go do it." We all sat there dumbfounded. It needs to be your passion. Somebody said, "You're going to retire?" No, you almost put me in the grave last year, but I'm still here. I get tired easy. Take lots of naps, amen? I get up in the morning, I'll tell you what, I get up in the morning, you know what gets me going in the morning many times? I think about that nap I'm going to take in about 4 hours. But seriously, there's a passion. I want to see God's people fall in love with Him. Amen? Yeah. I want to see God's people seek Him first. He might be their priority. He might be their passion. Be the total purpose of their life. Wow. Where are you at today? Where are you at? Has God tugged on your heart in some way? Is He bringing conviction? Greater determination? What is it? Let him have his way, whatever it is. Search your life and ask yourself, is he really the priority of my life? Is he really? If he said to do something, I had something else that was very important to do, what would I do? What would I do? Where would we be? First things first. Now, I preach primarily to God's people, but you may be here without Christ. If you're going to put first things first, then there's something you need before any of that, and that is to realize you're a sinner. You're separated from God for all of eternity, and there's only one bridge that will take you from this world to heaven. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a method. It's a person. It's not something you do. It's something he already did. For the wages of sin is what? Death. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did he die for your sins or for his? Because he had none. He couldn't die unless he took our sins upon him. And yet he did. Wow. Father, day working hearts. Have your way and will. Help us understand first things first. Lord, our priorities might be in the right order. That our passion might be for you, not the things of the world. Matthew, if you've taught us if we put you first, that all those things would just kind of come along for the ride. We don't have to worry about clothing. We don't have to worry about our food. We put you first. You make sure it's there. Lord, I thank you. I can testify. I've seen that over and over through the last several years. I pray that you might work in our hearts today. Oh God, that you would deal with us and we would be willing to be dealt with. For I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.